Imagine a world where the largest accommodation provider owns no hotels, the biggest taxi service owns no vehicles, and the most valuable retailer holds no inventory. This isn't science fiction. It's our reality. Companies like Airbnb, Uber, and Amazon have fundamentally transformed business by mastering the platform model. While traditional businesses create value through linear supply chains, platforms create ecosystems where participants connect directly, often serving as both producers and consumers. This shift represents perhaps the most profound business transformation since the Industrial Revolution, one that's reshaping industries from transportation to healthcare, retail to education, and beyond. When Uber enters a new market, something remarkable happens. As more drivers join, wait times decrease for riders. As more riders join, downtime decreases for drivers. This creates a self-reinforcing cycle where each new user makes the platform more valuable for everyone else, what economists call network effects. Unlike traditional businesses that derive power from supply economies of scale, producing things efficiently, platforms thrive on demand economies of scale, becoming exponentially more valuable as user numbers grow. Two-sided network effects are particularly powerful. Android attracts developers because of its large user base, while users choose Android for its vast app selection. This dynamic explains why platforms often subsidize one side initially, like Uber's free ride promotions, to kickstart growth. Network effects create lasting advantages that mere price discounts or marketing campaigns cannot. They're why Instagram sold for $1 billion with just 13 employees, while WhatsApp commanded $19 billion with only 50 staff. Traditional companies derive value from physical assets. Platform companies derive value from the communities they orchestrate. Every successful platform centers on a core interaction that attracts users, like uploading and viewing videos on YouTube or creating and viewing professional profiles on LinkedIn. This core interaction consists of participants, producers, and consumers, value units, exchanged content, and filters, tools connecting relevant participants with content. Effective platforms must pull users despite the chicken-or-egg problem, facilitate interactions through tools and rules, and match the right participants using relevant data. The best platforms begin with a simple core interaction before adding additional services, as LinkedIn did with recruiting tools, group discussions, and publishing features. Smart platform designers use modularity, organizing complex systems into independent units that work together through standardized interfaces. Platforms hold two key advantages over traditional businesses. They scale with near-zero marginal costs, Airbnb adds listings while hotels build rooms, and they create powerful feedback loops where increased production drives increased consumption and vice versa. They transform industries by reconfiguring value creation, removing barriers to tap new supply sources, value consumption, changing service access methods, and quality control, developing effective curation systems. Additionally, platforms transform business structures by de-linking assets from value, allowing independent trading of previously bundled resources. Re-intermediation, replacing inefficient middlemen with scalable systems, and market aggregation, centralizing fragmented markets. Incumbents can respond by transforming themselves. Nike demonstrated this with its FuelBand ecosystem that connects products through data, while industrial companies like GE are creating networks where connected machines learn from each other. How do you attract users to a platform when each side only joins if the other is already present? This chicken-or-egg problem is the central challenge of platform launches. Successful companies employ several strategies. Some follow the rabbit by building on existing pipeline businesses. Amazon became a platform by opening to external merchants after establishing its consumer base. Others piggyback on existing platforms or seed initial value themselves, like Google offering $5 million in prizes to Android app developers. The marquee strategy provides special incentives to crucial users, such as gaming platforms securing exclusive titles. Some start as single-sided businesses before converting to platforms, while others focus on producer evangelism. The Big Bang approach uses push marketing for simultaneous mass adoption, as Twitter did at South by Southwest. The micro-market strategy targets tiny communities where members already interact, exemplified by Facebook's Harvard-only launch. Charging users can destroy network effects, yet businesses must eventually generate revenue. The challenge is determining which value sources can be monetized without inhibiting growth. Transaction fees work, since users pay only when value is created, though platforms must prevent disintermediation. Access fees work when platforms can charge producers for reaching user communities, while enhanced access fees allow charging for premium features without restricting basic participation. Many platforms begin free to build network effects, following the users-first, monetization-later approach. Successful transitions from free to fee follow key principles. Avoid charging for previously free value. Don't reduce access to established value. Create new value that justifies charges, and design platforms with potential monetization in mind from launch. Platform designers face critical decisions about openness, how freely participants can access, develop for, and use the platform. Steve Jobs initially failed with the closed Mac, while Microsoft thrived with Windows openness, but later succeeded with a balanced approach for iPhone. Three key openness decisions involve manager/sponsor participation, who controls it, developer participation, who builds on it, and user participation, who contributes content. The proprietary model, like iOS, offers control but limited innovation, while the shared model, like Linux, maximizes innovation but complicates governance. Platform managers must determine which innovations to control versus delegate based on value creation. If an extension becomes a primary source of user value, the platform should acquire it or develop a competing version. Apple owns high-value iPhone features like Siri, while allowing third parties to control less critical functions. With user bases exceeding national populations, Facebook has more users than China's population, platforms need effective governance to thrive. Good governance addresses market failures that occur when beneficial interactions don't happen or harmful ones do, typically due to information asymmetry, externalities, monopoly power, or risk. Platform governance employs four tools: laws, regulations and rules, norms, cultural behaviors, architecture, technical design choices, and markets, economic incentives. Architecture primarily uses code to encourage good behavior. Peer-to-peer lending platforms assess borrowers through both conventional and non-traditional signals. Sustainable platforms apply governance rules to themselves, not just partners, while giving external partners voice in decisions creates more value long-term, even though some platforms have thrived despite treating communities poorly. The platform revolution is just beginning. Industries ripe for disruption share traits: information intensity, non-scalable gatekeepers, fragmentation, and information asymmetries. Education, healthcare, energy, finance, and government are already transforming. The Internet of Things represents the next frontier, a data infrastructure enhancing platform power. Industrial firms, tech companies, and internet giants are competing to control this ecosystem. While platforms deliver remarkable efficiency and innovation, every disruption creates winners and losers. Society must address structural challenges: unprecedented access to personal data, shifts to contingent work, community impacts, and potential market manipulation. The ultimate goal remains: technology and business systems should unlock human potential and foster fulfilling lives. Platforms offer extraordinary opportunities to connect people, resources, and ideas. The question isn't whether platforms will transform our world, but how we'll harness their power to create a more prosperous, equitable future for all.